You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
We're in the twilight zone here. Ivan's back from Perth. He's back from the Antipodes. Don, the Antipodes.
I thought they were islands.
The Antipodes are the Azores. What is he saying?
I thought the Antipodes were a group of islands somewhere.
The Antipodes. That's right, the other side of the world, Don. That's what Antipodes means. I think you're thinking of the Azores or who knows which. Anyhow, we're in the twilight zone because Don's allergic to sun. We come in here in the morning and we rip open the blinds and Don says,
too glary, shut them.
And I said, Don, please. I presume you're over there, Ivanhoe. I can just peer over the top of the console at you.
He looks like a bee this morning. I'm going to throw it out there. All yellow.
European wasp?
Yeah.
A Vespa.
A Vespa, that's correct.
No, that's a wind, breath of fresh air, isn't it? A Vespa?
Zephyr. Don.
Oh, is it a Zephyr?
Zespa, yeah.
No, Vespa, I'm getting confused with a motorbike.
No, what you're getting confused with, Don, is you're seriously autistic, and I think we should... probably after this take you down to a clinic because people can't understand a fucking word you're talking about half the time.
Do you think they could do both of us, you with your Asperger's and me with my autism?
I haven't got Asperger's.
Oh, bullshit!
Anyhow, Don, now for a start, Mick Christian, I rang him the other day inadvertently. Why? And said, how are the underwear going? And Mick said, I'm not sure, Sam. How do you think
you're
they're
chasing
going?
Money,
and I said, well, you're selling the fucking things.
Yeah, are you chasing money? No. You know he's in the rag trade. They don't pay.
So I had this conversation with Michael Christian, who turned out to be, in the end, I found out, the parole officer for the football, when they judge the tackles and things and say if it should be go towards the tribunal, what's that called? The panel. Come on. What? You know, Don, don't you? What's it called?
The tribunal, the chairman of the tribunal.
Tribunal? Oh. The tribunal. Hasn't got an R in it, tribunal.
Thank you.
What's it called? The match review. He is the head of the match review, Michael Christian, and I've known him in a previous life, and I've had his name in the phone, and I rang him up and I banged on for 7 minutes about the underwear, and he said, that's extraordinarily interesting, Sam. Now, what have you rung me for? I said, well, how about the fucking underwear? He said, no, mate. He said, I think you're speaking to the wrong Michael Christian. I said, you are absolutely right, Mick, I am. So the other Michael Christian from MichaelChristianMenswear.com, I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
He's furnished us with some Cheerios. He wants people who he's... He's sent the underwear
What? A Cheerio goes out for every pair of underpants that have been sold.
No, well, not necessarily, Don, but some people who... this is from Queensland. This is from Tony in Queensland.
Whereabouts in Queensland?
Bundaberg.
Okay. Tony in Bundaberg.
Mm. No, I made that up, Don. I don't know where he's from, but that's the only town I could think of besides Brisbane. Tony is from Queensland and he loves the podcast. He never misses, and I'm not sure if Tony is with Beth, but I got another message. Beth never misses a podcast, says that you and Don remind her of Statler and Waldorf.
Who are Statler? Well, Waldorf's a dog, isn't it? Or a...
Ivan, a microphone, please.
Muppets.
Muppets?
Yeah, that'd be right.
Oh, fuck.
Statler and Waldorf. Which is which? Which is Statler?
I'm going to say Statler's the skinny one, so you can be Statler.
Well, he's skinny.
Anyhow, so I'm not sure if Tony and Beth, this is sort of, it all runs into one another. I'm not sure if Tony and Beth are an item or if they'd like to be, but we could put them in touch with one
another.
Why
would Beth want the underpants?
Maybe, that's a good question. Maybe she puts them over her head and runs around the neighbourhood naked.
She dresses up, do you think?
What?
She dresses alternatively.
Well, we'll assume Beth's a woman because you never know. She could have been Barry, and now she's transed, and she's now Beth. But so that's a good question, Don. She could possibly be a woman.
Any other women we got to send Cheerios out?
Just a minute. Gosh, there's 100 here.
Oh, they're all. See, there's a new. That's probably the new market. That's where they're going.
Just what, to trans people?
Yeah.
Now, Don, could I?
Did you ever think of marketing them to? Because that's a
no.
Big
when I had the underwear about 8 years ago, I don't think trans was on the horizon.
Wasn't it?
Trans Australian Airline was, or Trans Pacific train that goes up to Darwin or where. So, Don, just while we're on that trans thing, I was speaking to. I don't know if he'd.
So what's he got to do with being trans? He hasn't changed, has he?
I was about to tell you why I was mentioning this. And I said, I'm not sure if I should mention his name. Now, James is a...
given advice to in life. You ready? Brad Robertson came to see me. Now, you might ask who Brad Robertson is.
Who is Brad Robertson?
He played centre-half forward for the under-19s at Hawthorn, and he came in 1 year. It's about a another player, the mother asked me to go and talk to him, and he was a neighbour.
This is just on the top of, on just the back of James Tonkin.
Gave James a bit of advice, and he, when I was the ruck coach, the other boy, I was living at Wandon, he lived down the road in Victoria Parade, and his mother, he lost his father, and his mother said, will you have a talk to him? He was playing basketball at this stage, he's 5'10", and he had aspirations of going all the way, and I said, listen, you're just too small, you know. Concentrate, go out and get a job, do this, do that, and just play basketball socially.
Diplomacy is not one of your long suits,
That boy turned out to be Shane Heal.
Turned out to be?
Shane Heal.
You weren't after, you, but what is his mother wasn't after you, was
no,
she?
No. They were into horses. She trained horses.
Oh, I see.
And
so unless it's horses or football, you're...
But anyway, so there's advice to boys that, you know, went on and made a big star of themselves.
So, getting back to James Tonkin, which was to why I mentioned the trans thing, some years ago I met him, because I know him, and he was on the way over to a Athletics Federation conference because he's part of the Olympic contingent that Australia sends over. He's on the board or whatever you like. And I said to him... Jim, you know what's going to... He's a very good golfer too, Don.
Really?
What?
Really?
Yeah, really. You think I made that up?
Yeah.
Why would I make that up?
Because he doesn't look coordinated.
Oh, no. The five-time Olympic champion?
Well, he can row, but you don't need much coordination to row.
Oh, no. Of course
not. Just pull
the
bloody oars and
that's
go backwards
right,
and
make
forwards.
Sure you don't catch a crab. That's the hardest thing, is not to catch... Not to catch a crab.
Well, you just lift your bloody oar up so it doesn't go through the water.
Well, when you're doing 40 strokes a minute, knackered after 2 miles of rowing flat out, and your pump's going at 300 beats a minute.
Not much to do there. Just go backwards or forwards on a suit and make sure the oar doesn't get in the
that's
water.
That's right. The old five-time Olympic champion, just go backwards and forwards on a seat. That's it. Well, he'll be happy to know that that's all he had to do. So anyhow, I said to him, the greatest thing that's going to bedevil world athletics is
transgender.
Men pretending they're women, infiltrating themselves into world sport.
Did he take note of you?
Well, he was reticent to get involved too much in the discussion in case he thought I was going to say, "Oh, James Tonkin said this," which I never would have.
Oh, bullshit! No, cannot keep a secret. You've got the loosest mouth around.
Well, have you heard me speak about it before?
Have you're you heard doing me it. Speak? No, you'll bring it up eventually.
Have you heard me speak about James Tonkin before?
No.
No, well, there I've kept a secret. Yeah, so, a week anyhow, ago I saw him at the Grand Prix. What the fantastic thing the Grand Prix was. We'll get on to that in a minute, except for the racing. We'll get on to that in a minute. So I said to Jim, you know that conversation? Yes, he said, I know the conversation we had. I said, have you thought that this is still going to bedevil because there's that woman, Layla, whatever her name, in America, who's just a bloke who's just cleaning up all the women's races? And he said, yes, I think I can say this is what he said. I think we're about to bring out a verdict or an edict, or maybe they have already brought it out, Ivan. If you were any good, you'd be looking this up like the Rocket used to.
Talking about the
just
Rocket.
Just a minute. Don't talk about the Rocket yet till I finish this. Or people who's listening to this, like Tony and Beth, who are in Queensland. And
who else you got there?
We got Matt Robinson.
Where from?
He's from Caloundra. I don't know where he's
from. No,
where? That's Queensland.
I don't know where he's from, Mike.
But you've sold a lot of these underpants to Western Australia. No, there must be some Western Australians there.
I don't
there.
Know that he's from Caloundra, mate. It doesn't matter. Matt Robinson and a bloke called Jason Holmes. Do you think he might be the Western brother Australia. Of Tracy Holmes?
Tracy.
Or John Holmes. Remember John? Remember Johnny Holmes?
No.
Every time he got an erection, he fainted. About 8 litres of blood went into the head of his cock. He couldn't stand up. He used to have to carry it in a little sort of a portable trolley.
Gladstone bag.
No, would you cross? I hope they never
be
circumcised him.
Wouldn't it?
What?
Walking around with a Gladstone bag in front of you all day. Wouldn't you do something else with it? I mean, you tie it around your neck or do something, wouldn't you?
What?
Put a rope thing around your neck or down through your shirt,
Don,
so you wouldn't.
Don, we've got off the subject. I'm going to get on. I'm going to finish
where
James Tonkin.
Are we going to James Tonkin?
You said, is there anyone else to send a cheerio? Jason Holmes, who we don't think is Tracy's brother or John's father. Clyde from Berwick, or do you call it Berwick? How do you say Berwick? Do you call it Berwick or Berwick?
Berwick.
Berwick, all right. Well, Clyde's from Berwick, or Berwick could be from Clyde. Steve from Perth loves his undies, and he loves them, Don. He goes to bed in them.
Is that the fellow that sent you a photo where he cut the arse out?
No.
What would he do with those?
No,
the
that bloke? Was a bloke called Peter Foster.
Does he? Who? The con man?
Every time I mention Peter Foster.
Well, the centre-half back at Footscray.
I have no idea. There's a picture of his torso and he...
What, he cuts the back out of them?
He's cut the arse out of them for
some... Well,
you
know what that's for.
I know what... I think he's being jocular, as in not jockeys, not as in jockstraps, but jocular, which means humorous, Don. Saying we've had a malfunction.
I hope they're
with
not
the
being used for ulterior things. These underpants.
And Steve from Perth loves his undies and never misses a podcast. Don, isn't that encouraging? Anyhow, getting back to James Tonkin. So
is that all?
What
is that all?
Well, that's all from Mick. Mick's brought a schedule in, and do you know what Mick also brought me in? Now you looked across this here. Is a tie he bought in from...
He makes ties and cufflinks.
From Michael Christian Memory. Thank you, Ivan. He bought this in, and you know what that is?
Mm. It's a tie.
And what are the colours?
It looks very smart.
What are the colours?
Navy and gold.
Navy, my
and
ass.
And gold.
If we weren't working in the twilight here, Don, you'd be able to see what that is.
Navy.
That's brown and gold.
Bullshit, is it?
That's brown and gold, Don. And he bought that in. Do you know why?
No.
He bought that in for when you become president of Hawthorne, You can isn't wear it to the next function.
Michael, it'd be better in navy, mate. They're shithouse colours, aren't they?
That's Hawthorn colours.
I don't care. Hawthorn, I've got the word. We've got the worst colours around, brown and gold.
Why don't you bag the club that's made you a fucking hero,
they
Don?
Are the worst colours.
Five-time premiership captain, 300-game player. Now you're about to bag the shit out of the club that gave you everything.
Michael used to work for Rod Mill, who used to make suits. Now, Michael, what could you wear with brown and gold, mate?
Michael. You're pretending Michael's here.
What?
You're pretending Michael's here.
He's just sitting here. Fuck. Oh, I'm talking to you. You're a fuckwit.
You are the most hope. You have no idea how to run a parody or satirical conversation. I'm pretending Michael's not here talking about him. Just because he probably gets embarrassed that he's bought in a sheet of things and is sitting there waiting for us to read them out. No, so I was just treating him with... anyhow, now that you've said he's here, go on, what?
Michael, what do you want shocking belt? Colours. What would you wear with that? A suit?
He's not responsible for the colours.
I know that, but they're shocking colours, aren't they?
Well, they are shocking colours, yes. Couldn't agree.
You're going to speak, are you?
Yep.
Well, pull the microphone
over.
And don't rip it. Oh, like you do with Don. Don rips the shit out of it. Go on.
Probably a Hessian bag.
Hessian.
Fucking me. If you're going to speak into it, mate, put your mouth in front of it. It's like birds of a feather, you and Don. Go on.
Not a great seller, that.
No. What would you wear with it, mate?
Your Hawthorn yellow blazer.
Yellow and black are big sellers, that's for sure.
Oh, they're shocking colours too.
Oh.
And yellow and black.
I've
got a bit of grey.
Yeah, that's in your hair. That's in your beard.
That's the beret grey.
Don. Give us your favourite colours, just so people might send you a bouquet of flowers.
Blue, navy.
Blue, navy.
Blue, you know, the blues. Navy.
Well, light or azure?
No, I don't like...
Sky?
No, pale blue, navy.
That's azure, and sky blue is pale.
Well, I don't mind though, blue.
Don't you, Don?
Any colour except black. I don't like
black. Why didn't you play for Carlton then? We are the navy blues, Don. Anyhow, I'm going to finish James Tonkin, if it's the last thing I do. So I said to Jim, and he was there with his very, very attractive wife. It doesn't matter if she's attractive or not, but just so happened that she was.
She's done all right.
So we're not fat shaming because she was an extraordinarily attractive lass.
Is she done all right in that area?
Well, I just from my point of view, looking at her, she seemed to be an extremely pleasant-looking woman. I presume was a woman. Now, Don. So Don. So I said to James, do you remember? He said, I do. He cut me short. He said, I do. I said, what have you determined? He said, well, I think, and this is where I started, they have either decided the Olympic Federation or they're going to, I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, that they're going to say the only way that you can become a female contestant in the Olympics is if you have, now you'll have to help me here, either women have two X chromosomes or men have an XY chromosome. What is it? Which one of it is? Whichever you get tested and you are biologically tested to have the chromosomes of chromosomes. Go on.
So, the X and the Y are the male.
So if you test and you have an XY chromosome, zone or the zone?
Zone.
Chromosome. M or N? M for Mary. M for madman. Chromosome. If you have an XY chromosome, you are a male in the judgment of the Olympic Federation.
Biological male.
No, this is why we're doing this, Ivan, you fool. Because if you have two X chromosomes, you qualify to be a woman. So if you are a man with an XY chromosome and then you transgender to be a woman, unless you have the two chromosomes that are X, you won't be allowed to compete. What a sensible, civil, logical rule. And you wait till people start jumping up and down about that.
This will end up in court.
And it will. And thank you, Ivan. And I hope Jim didn't mind me mentioning that, because it mightn't have been hit that. In fact, I didn't get that from Jim, as a matter of fact.
Would it end up in court if you said we are testing for chromosomes? Now, the double X's will compete in these events, and the XYs will compete in that event. We're just making a different type of games.
No, we're saying women and men's sport is that's how we differentiate. Mick's just broken one of my chairs. I've had them for 5 years, and he's just broken the leg off it. Mick, ChristianMenswear.com. That's what James Tonkin said. Now, how did we get onto that?
Because you saw him at the Grand Prix.
Talking about something else.
Hang on, just getting back to the Grand Prix. To me, it didn't receive that much publicity, yet it was an outstanding success. What's up, Ivan?
That's fantastic. Don, great perception, mate. I was going to mention the Grand Prix was a resounding success, and suddenly the mayor, all the politicians are jumping on the bandwagon. They never mentioned it, never gave it anything until the event.
Then
suddenly when they realised it was a great success, they've all said, oh, yes, Melbourne's great and it's been fantastic. They never gave it anything. I'm glad you said that, Don. They just bandwagon jumpers. And
why didn't it receive publicity, you think?
Because they're probably weren't sure if it was going to be a success, and people complained about
Andrew didn't do his job properly?
Andrew Westacott did a fantastic job.
Well, he didn't get the publicity, pre-publicity.
No, because they probably skeptic. They're not game to...
No,
not
hang on a minute.
All right, thank you, Ivan.
Andrew was here. We tried to get tickets. They were sold out within 30 minutes. So Andrew already knew the game was over before it even got to the Grand Prix weekend.
No, Ivan, we're saying... No, and when will you get on to the 420,000?
That's over 5 days.
Yes. Well, so what? What do you think, 400,000 went to the on Sunday? They'd still be trying to get in through the turnstiles, Don. Ivan, he did mention that, but that, therefore, you'd think the politicians, both sides of the fence, and the mayor, Sally, you think that they would probably say, oh, they've suddenly realised it was a great event and jumped on the bandwagon, unlike the Australian Open tennis, which was an absolute disaster run.
We mentioned last week about that, and we did on the podcast, about the documentary that appeared last Wednesday night. It was on Channel 7, not on 9. It didn't say anything. I was very, very disappointed because they never came out and pointed the finger at anyone as far as Djokovic was concerned, as to who was at fault.
So, okay, so now...
Weak as water, that show.
So now, speaking of Djokovic, Don, an indirect reference to him, there was 420,000 people in 5 days, if you like, or four, went to the Grand Prix, jammed like sardines. 9,000 cases a day rearing their ugly head of COVID in the community. Is of the most ridiculous nonsense, and suddenly 400,000 people with the cases still rampant are allowed to go to a Grand Prix, while kids, underage kids in kindergarten and 3 and 4 and 5 year olds have to wear masks and get vaccinated. Have you ever heard anything more corrupt and dishonest from people running the health system? It's absolute disgrace.
Well, I told you how I went for my third booster. I'm repeating it. And all I can get is Pfizer and Moderna. Now, I don't want Pfizer and Moderna as a booster. Right. Oh, sorry, we're not handing. Yet I heard a doctor being interviewed on the radio, and he's advocating AstraZeneca and Novavax as your booster. It's just fragmented. The whole approach to this is there's nothing consistent.
So you sent me a thing which I looked at, Don. You think I don't look at most of the things you sent me, which is actually pretty right. But because you send me more crap over the emails I get, and I think, what's he sent me that for? Anyhow, you sent me a very good thing about athletes now having heart attacks and
There's two in our game.
And entertainers in overseas more predominantly. Who they've sheeted at home, they've actually think it's about to do with the vaccination and the boosters, because as someone said, we've never had a heart attack ever in sport up until the vaccinations have come onto the scene, and now there's plenty, in relative terms, plenty of people having heart attacks and health problems from, they think, the vaccinations.
Well, there's two AFL footballers so far.
Yes.
Crozier and Wines.
Yes.
I just wonder if there's going to be any more.
Yes, we do wonder, Don. And this is, and yet they keep urging you to have boosters. And I tell you what, one day this will just...
The doctor also said, he said it's been remarkable on the radio. I listened to it, 3AW. And he said...
Which doctor?
It was on 3AW.
The 3AW doctor. Has he got any credentials?
No,
not Dr. Fordham.
Is he on 3?
He's part of that.
I thought
network.
He just did specialise in psychology.
Dr. Fordham?
Yeah.
Well, your psychology does, but he did you? Did, which doctor? Did, which? Not which doctor? Not a witch doctor. Which? WHICH. Which?
I don't remember his name, but they introduced him as Dr. So and so. And he said since COVID or the pandemic, he's noticed a lot of other things happening in his practice, and he's not saying they're a result of the vaccination, but he said it is interesting that he has had these things, but he's not saying it's the vaccination, it's an observation.
And because it hasn't been tested, it was rushed onto the market, and no one knows the health risks. This is why Mr. Djokovic will end up being an absolute hero. Because he said, no, I'm not having that stuff put in my body until I understand what's going on. And no one knows what's going on, Don. And we've all been vaccinated and I'm not having any boosters at all. And now I'll tell you this. So I go along. I was asked to have a photograph taken yesterday for a magazine, Donald. And I go along and I saw there Tom Bell Chambers. He was having his photograph taken. He's a big lad, isn't he?
I don't know.
You don't know Tom?
He plays for Essendon.
Yeah, I didn't know Tom, and he said hello, and I said g'day. And
is that all you said?
Yeah, because I didn't know who he was.
Well, why weren't you a little bit more? Because you've got a horrible manner. It's very abrupt.
On the and contrary, I was extremely.
No, you wouldn't have said, "Oh, hi, I'm John." You know, show Sam, or you go by the name of Sam, don't you?
I was extremely affable to Tom. He said hello. I said hello. And then I found out he was Tom Bell Chambers because I haven't been...
Did you carry conversation with Tom?
My wordy, wordy Tom. And he was there having a photograph because he said... I said, why are you here? I'm here because someone wanted to interview me. And I said, why are you here? And he said, well, I'm getting married. And I thought, shit, he might be on, you know, that show. What you call it?
Maths.
Yeah, what's that? Is that MILF?
Married at First Sight.
Is that like a MILF?
MILF? No, MILF is...
MILF, isn't that MILF? MILFs and MELFs.
What's a MILF?
A MILF is mothers I'd like to...
Fuck.
Be punned on? MILF is an acronym for mothers I'd like to... Well, you are a little sharp in what the F stands for. I think fornicate would be better. Mothers I'd like to fornicate with. But, Don, you just can't said fuck. So that's an acronym because you can actually say it, MILF. And MALF, what's that?
MALF.
What is it? Married go on. Oh, First Sight. So I thought he might have been on Married at First Sight. And I said, and then he had this lass who was standing beside him, who I found out is the woman he's going to marry. And her name was Olivia, I think. Anyhow, why have I mentioned this? Oh, yeah, so I go in there and they said, could you turn up at this address? This is a couple of days ago. And I said, yes, I'll go there and bring wardrobe and all. I had to bring everything. And then they sent me a text from Sydney and they said, we require you to have a rapid test because you will not be photographed unless you bring a rapid test. Nice. I texted back very politely. I said, thank you so much for that advice. I will be not having a rapid test. I've been vaccinated twice. I have not got COVID. And I understand if you don't wish to go on with this. And thank you so much. And they shot back another text saying, well, we'll courier a anti a rapid test to you, which they did, and and I got the test. I don't know why they sent it to me, because how would they know if I took it or not? And when I got there, no one asked me had I had an rapid test. So they've got us fooled. They've got the whole country bluffed, Don. And we're still, and 420,000 jammed in as tight as you could be. No masks, no self-distancing at the Grand Prix. Fantastic event, except for the race. And
what was wrong with the race? Because I haven't watched a thing. Nothing has turned me on about the Grand Prix. So what was wrong with the race?
Well, what's wrong with the race most of the time is that the front two cars get out and they don't race one another, and all the action is at the back of the pack. And that's not the fault of Andrew Westacott. They're trying to get the cars even. And Ferrari, suddenly, because they've won two races, I think, have become the greatest sporting fraternity and organisation in the world. They're the most dysfunctional organisation in the world, Ferrari. They fuck up most events that they go in. They get the tyre changes wrong. When they call them into the pits, they're slow. And suddenly they've become the big new boys on the block because they've won two races.
I saw talking about Ferrari and going down to that car show with you. I watched a documentary called Ford vs. Ferrari.
Yes.
About... Daryl Shelby.
No, Carol.
Carol Shelby.
Daryl Shelby.
Oh, well, he's
a household name, Carol. You'd think that's a woman, but it's not. Carol Shelby is a man.
Fascinating film how Ford set out to take on Ferrari back in the 60s.
Yes, do you know why?
Well, I suppose Ferrari dominated. No, hang on. Now, that's a good point. Did Ford try and buy Ferrari?
Yes, they did. And Enzo said, no, fuck off.
Yes.
Made words to that effect, probably Italian.
He was very,
He said, I don't know what Italian is, presto spasogna, which means fuck off.
What did I have to say it again?
I don't know what it means, Don. Could be any language. And anyhow, so Ford, not Henry, Henry's grandson.
His grandson, wasn't
great he? Grandson, he said, right, we're going to take you on. And they did, and beat them.
They beat them. I think they won. Is it Le Mans? Le Mans?
Le Mans.
Le Mans?
Yeah, Le Mans.
Well, I think they won it four times.
Well, I think they did. Anyhow, it was a good film, except it got, like the Americans, got too schmaltzy with all the shit sitting on the footpath singing to the girl in the cottage under the moonlight. And
that didn't happen in the film.
Yeah, it did.
Whereabouts?
Was that Matt Damon? Not Matt Damon. Who was it?
Christian Bale.
Yeah, Christian Bale and Christian.
Yeah, and Dame. I think. No, was it Damon?
You're right.
Yeah. Damon was Carol Shelby.
Yeah. Well, whoever. Anyhow, I think Christian Bale was the mechanic or something.
The driver.
Sat there sitting on the footpath singing syrupy shit. What we wanted to do was see how the race and how it all happened, but they turned it into a fucking soap opera. Of course, Enzo, those famous words, Don. There's two famous people who have said things about motor cars. Frank Sinatra said, do you remember this? Frank Sinatra said, if you want to be someone, buy a Ferrari. If you are someone, buy a Lamborghini. That was his famous line.
Have you got out the back here?
Just a slight.
What have you got out the back?
Lamborghini.
Have you got one of these?
Well, when I wanted to be someone, I bought a Ferrari.
Got a Ferrari out here?
No.
No. What's the other flash car?
Ferrari is a poor man's Lamborghini, Don.
So what do you got?
I've got a Lamborghini. So that's what Frank said. And
why
then,
didn't you take that down to the car show?
Well, I wasn't asked to. I was asked to take my very prestigious, older, historic car down there, a Boss 429 Mustang.
Yeah, it's a nice car.
It's a nice car, Don.
Nice line.
Yeah, nice lines. That's why. So, and then Enzo made that famous statement when E-Type Jaguars came out in 1962 or 63. He said it's the most beautiful car in the world. That's what Enzo said about the Jaguar. I reckon that's what he said.
But do you think it's the most beautiful car?
I don't like it,
the Jag.
In 1963, when it came out, it was the most magnificent, still is, Don. There's one out the back here.
I don't like the way the bonnet's put on the back.
The bonnet's put on the back.
Well, it's a different line. I like the Mustang because it's a
nice
line.
Did you say the way the bonnet is put on the back? A bonnet by its very term means it's on the front.
Oh, I meant the cabin or whatever you call it. The boots at the back. The cabin. Well, the way it's like a bubble. I like the front of it, the E-Type. It's a nice line. But that's the bonnet.
You just said you didn't like the bonnet.
After the bonnet, I reckon.
What, where you sit? The cabin?
The cabin. It's like a bubble.
The cockpit. It's like a bubble.
It's streamlined. The bonnet's streamlined.
You're like a bubble. I'll take you out and show you, Don. I've seen it. It's nothing like a bubble. What other car is... Every car is like a bubble. You sit behind the wheel with the windscreen in front of you. What are you talking about?
Well, just the shape. It's streamlined in front, the E-Type.
How'd we get onto that?
We're talking about Frank Sinatra.
No, we were talking about the fact that 420,000 went to it and suddenly kids in preschool are being still asked to wear masks by this ridiculous government.
I sent you another one, Graham Hood, the aviation man, the pilot who came out against the vaccine. I've had an interesting weekend.
Have you?
People I haven't seen for a couple of years, and they're not related, both came up with this, and there's something going on out there that people are seeking the truth. And
Mr. Hood saying, the aviation
pilot? Well, he resigned. He's against the vaccine. He's a very smart man, he's got credentials. He wasn't going to be vaccinated. He resigned from Qantas, I think it was.
Mr. and Mr. Joyce's airline.
Yes, mm-hmm. And it also came out that they're finding a lot of... They test regularly, medically test these pilots to make sure they're safe to pilot. But a lot of them, since they've had the vaccination, are not passing the test.
Well, the vaccination has rendered their tests null
and
void.
That's right, but you can't find this on mainstream media. These two people put me onto a thing called Rumble. A website called Rumble.
That's a dating app.
Rumble. Oh. R-U-M-B-L-E. Rumble.
Oh. I was nearly put on a dating app called Bumble.
Well, what's it got to do with fucking Rumble?
I thought Mr. Hood might be on the dating app now that he's got the arse from being a pilot.
He's happily married. I think his wife is a doctor. I think she's a doctor. He said something.
Doctor of what? Music?
No, medicine, I think. I see. Connected somehow. But... There's a lot of theories coming out there that are not being exposed.
Well, the only way
they're being exposed is through this, I'd call it underground, but Rumble, which is not mainstream on these websites.
Rumble. Do you know why they go to those underground websites? Because the mainstream people like Mark Zuckerberg who run Facebook and Twitter, they won't allow you because they think it's disinformation.
That's right.
They are so dishonest and so corrupt. And if you have a look at what's going on in the States, fancy the President of the United States, Donald Trump, not being allowed to be on Twitter. Have you ever thought how corrupt and dishonest that is? That is politicising a social media platform to the benefit of the opponent that your man is running against. It is an absolute... you've got that dysfunctional clown who is the president at the minute and he's offsider. They are the two most...
John, does this bring in who actually runs America?
I'll tell you, the most racist, reverse racist president ever, Barack Obama, runs America. He's just pulling the strings behind the scenes. And if anyone could divide America along racial lines better than a Barack Obama, I'd like to meet him.
You don't think business people, very high business people, are having a real influence? I remember
they are.
Rupert Murdoch had a meeting on his yacht and out came the prospective prime minister from England. He had the heavyweights from the newspapers all meeting in Queensland.
They are trying to ostracise Rupert.
This is going back
because
years.
He is of Fox News, and Fox News are the only honest people that say how corrupt the mainstream media are in the States. You've got to follow it to see. Joe Biden is the most dishonest and corrupt. He has taken money from Ukraine, from China, to enrich his family. They all have. There's documents, but no one will print it. No one will mention it.
Why?
Because they are in the pocket of the Democratic party in America because they don't like Trump, because Trump called them out, saw them for what they are, grovelling pigs with their snouts in the trough. So
interesting you talk along this line, because isn't it interesting, 12 months, not 12 months, a week ago, the topic of our conversation here was the racism claim or Cyril Rioli at Hawthorn.
Oh, man.
Hang on. Let me finish.
Hasn't it
died in the arse 1 week later? Now, on the Monday, I told you that prior to Monday week ago, just 1.5 weeks ago, two reporters rang me and said, I told them, go away and investigate it yourself. They went away. Oh, geez, we can't write that. I said, why can't you write that? Oh, shit, we're reverse racism. I said, you're weak as water. Then the A journalist, Mark Robertson from The Sun.
Not Robinson.
Robinson. Robinson.
Robertson or Robinson?
Bin.
Not Mark Robinson from Fox Sports.
Yes.
On the 360. Along with
he writes in the
Robinson.
Yes,
well, he's on 360 with
anyway, just let me finish.
What's the other man's name? Who?
Mark Robinson.
Yes, and sound like faulty towers. Go on, Jared Waitley, who's been on here before. Is that Mark Robinson? Well, you said Robertson.
Oh, did I? Sorry, Robinson. Anyway, he attacked it in a different way by not saying anything but getting Michael Long to say something.
I'm glad you're born.
And Sean Burgoyne also weighed in, and now the thing has died a death.
Because the aging, pandering white chick.
What?
The aging, pandering white chick.
Don't.
Hey, please. Don, she is pandering to this narrative.
She was trying to set up.
Exactly. She's trying to make a line between Jeff Kennett saying, would you like some loose change to sew up the threads? Trying to continue this division when there's no division to be had. And Michael Long, believe it or not, came out and said, this is nonsense. And You can't make this stuff up. And slagging disabled sport.
If you look through her story, you can connect the dots after a while. And I said to the journos, the two that rang me on the Saturday when it came out, go and have a look and read the article. But they wouldn't go in.
No.
There's enough problems, as Michael Long said, there's enough problems there that Cyril's got to address.
Yeah, and fancy her saying that she doesn't accept what he says.
Who?
Wilson.
Said who does? She doesn't accept what?
What Long said.
Bullshit.
Don, this is what I keep telling you.
When
how,
did she
how
say
does
that?
This I woman don't. Keep how does this how does how does anyone take this woman seriously? I've just told you that. You can he said no, this is not right, and she said no, it is right, and how would he know? How would he know? He's in the community, he's in the brotherhood of what those people are. She keeps trying to divide, like, it's just extraordinary. It's a non-story. It was always a non-story, and it goes on and on and on about it. And fact we're talking about it makes me actually annoyed that we're talking about it. So Don. We could sign this off, and then you ready? Are you all right?
I need a break.
Can I just ask you one question? Did you bring anything up that you? No, I don't mean that. I know you've brought things up. But we sign off, and every time we sign off after we found our way out of the gloom here and I can see the sunlight and we get out to your car, you say, oh, well, I should have mentioned this. So now, just before we sign off the first segment, is there anything that's on the tip of your tongue that you want me to address, or Ivan, or even the man that's pretending he's not here, is Mick Christian? Do you want to belt him about the colour of the tie, which he's got no control over? Is there anything you quickly want to say before we get onto a whole lot of other topics? Because I'm going to ask your permission, Don. I'm going to move for a month down to Beaconsfield Parade. I'm going to move down there and going to stay
She's
there.
She's not
for
there.
A month.
Hey? She's not there.
Is all the crap gone?
All the crap's gone. She is not there. So somebody's listening.
No. She might be on furlough. She might have gone to another street and just reholidayed.
Well, she rang her mother, and the mother put a little bit more. She's on vacation.
She might be on vacation in Church
no,
Street.
No, she's not there.
Well,
what about all
this
stuff?
No, it's gone.
In storage.
Okay. She's on the way over to the Greek islands for the summer. So I'm going to Don.
Tell the people, set the scene. They probably tuning in for the first. Somebody might be tuning in for the first time, John,
this woman has taken on herself to camp on Australia's Melbourne's most prestigious boulevard, our only boulevard that overlooks our bay, and she's been camping there, and this is not a criticism of her. Please, we've said this many times, she's unfortunately homeless, or she's pretending she is if she's not, and I said, how can this woman or anyone camp on the most prestigious boulevard in Melbourne? How can you do that? And I said, if I went down there, which I was going to, I was going to go down there
and sleep rough.
I was going to sleep rough until
beside her,
not beside her, Don. No,
just in the vicinity.
In the vicinity, so I could have free access to the latrines and the showers, so that if I had to ablute, if I had to ablute as the sun went down, like she probably does,
go for a swim and ablute in the middle of the bay.
Oh, what, swimming amongst your own feces? Yeah, Don, seriously. Yeah, that's right. Just go in to clean yourself, and while you have a crap, it all floats around you, and you inhale it, and you come out looking
You don't inhale it, you swim away from it.
Come out looking like, I won't say what you look like. So I was going to...
it's dangerous if you do
I
that.
I was going to ask
because
you...
Because it looks like a polywaffle.
Drop the kids off at the pool. When you have a crap. So I was going to ask you if you could take me down in this. What is that car you got there, Don? That's just, you talk about the E-Top not looking good. You've got a chassis
that's
there.
That's got a good line.
You haven't even got a back to it. It's got a tray.
It's an RTZ.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, I was going to get you to take I've got a sleeping bag and a blow-up mattress, which I walked up the Kokoda Trail using.
Really?
Yeah, and I was going
to... Did you do the Kokoda Trail?
I did.
With your ankles?
How long? No, I used someone else's
ankles. Well, by that I meant your ankles.
I borrowed some artificial legs to go up the Kokoda Trail.
You idiot. How long ago did you do it?
Gary Lyon and I walked up for the Tourism Bureau of the Papua New Guinea Tourist Bureau, and it's the most difficult...
How long ago?
I was 70 when I did it.
That's 5, 6, 7...
I was 71. It was the most difficult... And I know
that's
plenty of...
tough, isn't it?
I know plenty of people
how
have done
it. How long did it take you?
It takes 8 days.
Really?
What?
Really? 8 days?
Yes, Don.
Wow.
It's the toughest thing I've ever done, and it was really? Emotional and spiritual.
Did you train for it?
Well, that's a very interesting thing. A very good man called Peter Miller, who runs a company that takes people up there called No Roads, I think it's called. I hope I'm not sure if he listens to this, but Peter Miller, M-I-L-L-A-R, I think, No Roads. He rang me and he said, now, mate, you should go into training for this, because he oversaw us. And I said, Peter, please, mate, I'm pretty fit. I walk up and down stairs.
Yeah,
every,
you do. That's tough work.
Yeah, tough. And he said, all right. He said, well, don't train for it. And I said, no, Pete, I appreciate the advice. So we get there the first day. We get there the first day and we start off. And there's a sort of a steady incline for the first 4 hours. And you got your backpack on and all the Sherpas and all the people and the cameraman, and because it was filmed. And you can look at it's interesting. And so it was a steep incline. After 4 hours, Gary's bounced out ahead and he's sitting there having a fag up on a rock, and I'm just sort of got up there and I said, shit. I said, how hard's that, Gary? And the bloke said, he said, you think this is hard, do you? I said, absolutely. He said, well, stand by. So then we had some grub and we pushed off at about up past, we started at 5 in the morning, we pushed off at up past 11 and suddenly, Don, you have no idea. It was like climbing up a tree one side and then climbing down the tree the other side. It was so steep and rugged, and after the first day, we get in and we stop, it's about 5 o'clock, and I said to Gary, mate, I can't do this for another 7 days.
Really?
I honestly said I could not do this for another seven days.
You did it, though.
So Gary was fantastic. He said, now, come on, Foss, I think he said. Come on, old champ. He calls me old champ. He said, come on, old champ. He said, you can do it. He said, you know, use what all the discipline you had for the football and all that shit. And so we get up the next day at crack of dawn. And
where did you sleep?
Where we dropped.
What do you mean, on the ground?
Yeah, we erected tents. And went and had a crap in the jungle and fucking... So the only thing that kept me going is that I kept thinking Australians, boys and men, I don't think women went up there at that stage, they went up and fought for this country against an unknown enemy, the Japanese. Well, a known enemy. And they had none of the luxuries we had. We had sleeping bags and people who made our food for us and all that sort of stuff. And
yeah, but in all fairness, and yes. I'm not detracting from the... Jeez, I've seen pictures of it.
Yes.
They didn't actually walk it. They were fighting. So they were getting, you know, might make advances of 200-300 yards at a time.
Oh, yeah, I get you. So they were not only... They were walking up the heavy hills and getting fired at by the Japanese and ducking
that.
Bombs and ducking ammunition.
So it's two different physical encounters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, they had it easy, Dom.
No, we're not saying they had it easy. There's two different things. You're walking it in 8 days.
They're walking it in 300 metre, yeah, with guns and ducking things, and they're in swamps and in 300 metre bursts, they're walking it and ducking and trying to save their lives, and we're just trying to trek through it to see if we could do it. So I know they had it easy. We did the tough stuff. So the only thing that kept me going was Gary. It was fantastic, Gary. He said, now, come on, old champ, he said, just think the others, people before you in 1945, whenever it was, they did this. And there's monuments along the way that you go and you stand and you look at the monuments where people and Australians have been killed and they've buried them and that's what. And when you get there, it is so emotional. So, Gary, I've said this before, so Peter Miller or the man that was overseeing our walk, he handed Gary a letter and he said, I want you to read this out. This was a son, the son of a woman. His son sent it to his mother, and this was the letter that he sent to her. And so Gary says, I said, oh, and Gary looked at it, he said, I'm not sure I can read this out. And I said, Gary, come on, read it out. It's only a bloody letter. I said, give it to me. And he said, all right. He said, settle down. And I said, so I got the letter and I said, dear mum, the boy has since got killed. So she's just getting the letter after he'd been killed. He said, dear mum, I just want to tell you, and I read the next couple of lines and I couldn't speak and I could not speak. And Gary said, how are you going there, old champ? How are you going with the reading? And I said, no, Gary, I'm sorry. I'll defer to your better judgment. I said, you can read the letter. So it took us about half an hour to read the letter out without us at all breaking down. So that's the only thing that...
How did you get out of there?
We walked out, Don.
You walked back?
What?
You retraced your steps?
No, you start at one end of the Kokoda Trail or track and you walk for 8 days and come out the other end.
So where did you go? What, did you get picked up by planes,
helicopters? No, oh, shit, yeah. You get picked up by support vehicles. This is what I'm saying.
And then you go back in the car.
Yeah, so no, we had it tough. We were getting picked up by support vehicles, unlike the people who were actually fighting who were getting shot at. No, they had the easy job.
How far was it?
No, I wouldn't think it's that far. But so the last... So we get with the eighth day in the morning. He said, come on, not far to go now, mate. He said, we've only got maybe a mile or a kilometre to go. So we get, we walk for about 4 hours and I'm absolutely stuffed. And we just come out round a little sort of a hill. And there is the finish of the, they've got a big arch where it ends. And it was honestly vertical. I said, I've been walking for eight, I can't. the last 100 metres I couldn't do.
Really?
I said, Gary, I can't walk up that. And he said, come on, old champ. I walked up on my hands and knees, grappling, pulling myself up, and I got up the top, and I looked like a bag of shit when I went under the arches. And I lay there for fucking 1 hour, I did. It was the most... And I know plenty of unfit people, and plenty of people have done it, and they've just breezed through it.
Really?
It was the hardest. And Hawthorne, to their credit, they take all their recruits, or they used to. Alistair Clarkson used to take them up when they were introduced to the club as a bit of a bonding thing. They used to walk the Kokoda Trail. And I've had plenty of people from Hawthorne tell me they said it was the most horrific and hardest thing they've ever done. But they did it. So good on Hawthorne for doing that.
A friend of mine just did a, well, it's completely different, but there's a trail that goes once a year. It's from Cancoban to Kurrion. Now, Kurrion had a Bushman's Festival last weekend. And this ride, it's a ride, 60 people go. There's in groups of 10. And they go from Cancoban to Corryong. It takes 5 days. And the fellow that went, Greg Manley, was telling me last night, he did it, and he said it's the toughest thing he's done on horseback. A girl
on horseback?
On horseback.
Oh, shit.
They're going up just, you know, horrific hills.
Don?
A girl nearly drowned crossing the Murray. A couple of them came off.
What we're going to do is you and I might speak to Peter Miller and we might walk up the Kokoda Trail.
I'm not going
to
do it.
Hang on. We're going to close off now because we're going to come back with some topics. I've got 100 topics here, but I just wanted to give you a chance to get one of yours out, which you never did. So we're going to just wind this up now and then we're going to come back.
Can you get a coffee, please?
We're going to come back. And just let me... What
decent
am I doing,
coffee.
Ivan?
A
here
coffee.
We go. Shut up.
Because you ain't treating me right. Come back again.